By the time the McBoeing dropped to subsonic velocity, it had fallen below the vast cloud band sweeping in towards Amorist's western coast. The continent ahead covered over 8 million square kilometres, stretching from the floodplains of the western coast to a long range of fold mountains in the east. Under the midday sun it glared a brilliant emerald, jungle country broken by huge steppes in the south where the temperature dropped towards subtropical. Beneath the space plain, the sea was stained with mud, a grubby brown blemish extending for 70 to 80 kilometres out from the boggy shore. It marked the mouth of the Julif, a river whose main course stretched just under 2,000 kilometres inland, way into the foothills guarding the eastern coast. The river's tributary network was extensive enough to rival Earth's Amazon. For that reason alone, the development company had chosen its southern bank as the site of the planet's capital and sole city, Durringham. The McBoeing passed low over the coastal swamps, lowering its undercarriage, bullet-shaped nose lining up on the runway 30 kilometres ahead. Lalonde's only spaceport was situated 5 kilometres outside Durringham, a clearing hacked out of the jungle containing a single prefabricated metal grid runway, a flight control centre, and 10 hangars made from sun-bleached easy-stack panels. The space plane touched down with tires squealing, greasy smoke shooting up as the flight computer applied the brakes. The nose lowered and it rolled to a halt, then started to taxi back towards the hangars. An alien world, a new beginning. Gerald Skibo emerged from the stuffy atmosphere of the space plane's cabin, looking about with reverence. Just seeing the solid picket of raw jungle bubbling around the spaceport's perimeter, he knew he'd done the right thing coming here. He hugged his wife, Lauren, as they started down the stairs. "Damn, will you look at that? Trees, real bloody trees, millions of them, trillions of them, a whole bloody world of them." He breathed in deep. It wasn't quite what he'd expected. The air here was solid enough to cut with a knife, and sweat was erupting all over his olive-green jumpsuit. There was a smell, vaguely sulphurous, of something rotting. But by damn it, it was natural air, air that wasn't laced with 7 centuries of industrial pollutants. And that's what really counted. Lalonde was dreamland made real, unspoilt, a world on which the kids would make everything come true just by working at it. Marie was following him down the stairs, her pretty face registering a slight sulk, nose all crinkled up at the scent of the jungle. Even that didn't bother him. She was 17. Nothing in life was right when you were 17. Give her 2 years, she'd grow out of it. His eldest daughter, Paula, who was 19, was staring round appreciatively. Her new husband, Frank Carver, stood beside her with his arms protectively round her shoulder, smiling at the vista. The two of them sharing the moment of realization, making it special. Now Frank had what it took, a perfect son-in-law. He wasn't afraid of hard work. Any homestead with Frank as a partner was bound to prosper. The apron in front of the hangar was made from compacted rock chips with puddles everywhere. 6 Harry Lalonde Development Company officers were collecting the passengers' registration cards at the bottom of the steps, running them through processor blocks. Once the data was verified, each immigrant was handed a Lalonde citizenship card and an LDC credit disc with their Gov Central funds converted to Lalonde francs, a closed currency, no good anywhere else in the Confederation. Gerald had known that would happen. He had a Jovian bank credit disc, stashed in an inner pocket, carrying 3,500 Fusa dollars. He nodded thanks as he received his new card and disc, and the officer directed him towards the cavernous hangar. "You'd think they'd be a bit better organized," Lauren muttered, cheeks puffed against the heat. It had taken 15 minutes queuing before they got their new cards. "Want to go back already?" Gerald teased. He was holding up his citizenship card, grinning at it. "No, you wouldn't come with me." The eyes smiled, but the tone lacked conviction. Gerald didn't notice. In the hangar, they joined the waiting passengers from an earlier space plane flight, where the LDC officer collectively labelled them Transient Group 7. A manager from the land allocation office told them there was a boat scheduled to take them upriver to their allocated settlement land in 2 days. They would be sleeping in a transient dormitory in Durringham until it departed, and they'd have to walk into town, though she promised a bus for the smaller children.